see or decide by what his ears hear. It's amazing. The prophetic judge of the earth will not judge by what he observes, by this tragedy or this poverty, this violent act, this nation that rises against another. But as Isaiah declares, with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. It's amazing. Those who do not consider themselves as wicked are exposed, while the poor and the meek of the earth shall be struck by the rod of the prophetic mouth, giving them voice in the process of hope upon this earth. Yes, it's amazing. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, that leather belt that John wore, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. We know from the Gospels that this voice came around the time of the first century. It was the son of the priest who automatically was given the privilege of becoming a priest. But he elected to choose, this is John the Baptist, he elected to choose the calling from the Lord, and he wore that belt around his waist. He went forth with the knowledge of Isaiah and planted deep within his soul. He was ready for the symbols of the ultimate peace. The wolf will lie down with the lamb, and the shepherd will lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion are fattening together, and the little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall graze, and their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox, and the nursing child shall play over the hole of an asp, as we demonstrated with children today. And the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. I don't think we're talking literally there, like I put up on the screen. It is amazing when a wolf elects to live with a lamb. It is amazing when the leopard lies down with the kid, and the calf and the lion are together. It is amazing when the nursing child shall play over the hole of an asp without the child's mother being in fear. It is amazing when the weaned child has put his hands on the adder's den. And it offers a special time of joy and happiness. Advent is amazing. It's amazing that John the Baptist upheld these visions, put on the belt of righteousness and faithfulness around his waist, and entered into the wilderness with people following him. Truly, the persecuted, those of the Jewish faith who had been left behind by the powerful and wealthy in their belief, who clung to the Roman political authority, truly those who had become part of the Jewish peasant class, and those as well who were Gentile peasants, were amazed that God had elected one to prepare the reestablishing of God's good news. It's amazing that when the leaders of the Jewish faith, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, came out and to see what was attracting all the people to enter into the wilderness outside of Jerusalem, John responded to them in a powerful voice, "You brood of vipers!" Ah, the child was no longer playing with the asp. John went on, "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance or change." It's amazing. As we of the world today desire a Christmas of peace, beautiful music, joyful stories, entertainment, comfort, and many gifts, the church of yesteryear declaring to earnestly prepare for the voice of the angels coming to Mary, or the shepherds, or the wise ones, as we heard in our Advent readings. First and foremost, we need to, as did John the Baptist, focus upon the cries of injustice of the world. John declares to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our ancestor, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise children up to Abraham." Those who self-righteously presume that they are the ones who are connected to the earnest followers of God from the past are not to presume that they are the ones to be rewarded by God in this day. John declares, now, even now, the axe is lying at the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, that the tree does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. God, out of love for justice for all, is always ready to take the axe to the root of the tree that does not bear its designated fruit. Where is that axe? Where is it striking this day and age? Even though it is Advent and the time to prepare for the little babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, we are called to ask what part of our lives, our faith, our church, our family, our community, our farming, our entertainment, our industry, our jobs, our government, our military, and on this day, after the day of December 7th commemoration, and our nation and our unity, or lack thereof, which of these needeth struck by the axe at the root of the tree? Advent is amazing. The forerunner of Christ, the Messiah, declares, I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie, to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. My friends, during the time of preparation, Advent, Black Friday, and whatever they call it, Internet Monday, and beautifully decorating the church and our homes, and let's stop to root for the Buckeyes and go to our school special programs and watch the Christmas features on our favorable TV shows and hope to dodge the white Christmas snow until Christmas. Don't think we can do it. The scripture says his winnowing fork is in his hand and he will clear the threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. How much of our chaff surrounds our hearts, our minds, our activities? Do we dare let go and let the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the fire for Jesus into our lives, even if it means burning our chaff? Advent is amazing. Advent, which means coming, is the potential for God's graceful righteousness to be applicable to all. The true Christmas gift, the coming of Christ in all its shapes and sizes, is for all. Full life for the poor, starving child is to be made real in this every generation. It is not enough to simply be sure that that child has a Christmas gift. Children are to be subject to violent, are not to be subject to violent chemical weapons in our world. Instead, they are to be given the opportunity to grow. To grow up, realizing the love and trust of God. When you and I observe a world of dwindling freedom and the takeover of violence, we as followers of John the Baptist, who were baptized and told that the one coming after him was our saving grace, we are to inquire on our knees in prayer, O God, is it time for you to give me the axe and call me to strike the root of a tree in your behalf? It's amazing. You know, it's amazing this week that Nelson Mandela died just during the season of Advent, just ahead of the celebration of the Jesse tree and John the Baptist Sunday. If ever there was a person who knew how to strike the root of the tree that needed to be a new shoot from the stump of Jesse, it was Nelson Mandela. In so many ways, he was a distant figure. You and I only could see him on the news. We did not know him personally. Some Americans, others around the world outside of South Africa, did have the opportunity to hear him speak. One school teacher on the news reported that it was Nelson Mandela speaking to his school here in America, who said that it is the challenges in our lives, the challenges in our lives that give us the greatest opportunity to do good. Coming from someone who spent 25 plus years incarcerated. The celebration of life of Nelson Mandela during the day of the root of the tree of Jesse and John the Baptist raises good questions about who is it that we allow to have influence in our lives. Who do you and I allow to influence our lives? Who is it in recent generations that influenced our lives? And I'm here today to say, from a distance we look at these people. But I want us to say, I hope it's not just your best friends, that's good, or your family, or your coach, or your teacher, or your preacher. And I hope it's not just Woody Hayes, or Lucille Ball, or John Lennon, or Alan Jackson, or Walter Cronkite. This week I have reviewed my list that intentionally excludes U.S. presidents. That those from a distance that I have observed that are so amazing in their lives and have given so much to all of us and all the world. And my list for those in the roots begins with, of course, Martin Luther King. Some of these you'll know, some you will not. Some you'll agree with, others you'll not. Cesar Chavez, Mother Mary Harris Jones, or Mother Jones. Nelson Mandela, John L. Lewis, Lech Walesa, you may not know him, Helen Keller, Pope John the 23rd, Mahatma Gandhi, M. Scott Peck, psychiatrist, Harry Emerson Fosdick, Martin Marty, Clarence Jordan, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, Reinhold Niebuhr, Desmond Tutu from South Africa, and one who is my friend, Sai Khan. Of many of these, I cannot state much about their personal history. I don't know, for example, that until I looked it up, that Mother Jones, before getting involved in the Labor Party, was an Irish-American school teacher and a dressmaker. I do know that these people have given their lives to a new wave of hope and justice and inspired thousands and millions of us. You could create your own list. Maybe we should put our lists on Facebook in the church's page, because it's all about how amazing Advent is. Moving forth to help the world, as we do, let us proclaim that Advent is amazing, even when it is from a distance, even when it's the Word of God that goes back for so long in our lives, in so many generations before us. And speaking from a distance, I conclude today with an amazing song that came about in the 80s and became very popular again with Bette Midler singing one of her versions. And this one features children. Thank you, God, for this amazing Advent that reaches out to us from a distance. Amen.